When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You know, there is this higher bookkeeper. There's a universal bookkeeper, accountant, who keeps track of every act of giving out there. Called it the field of consciousness, where there's an algorithm, an intelligence that keeps track of every act of giving. And having faith in that field is essential. Now, the approach I took, Aditya, was a very radical one. You know, deleting that file and then simply just announcing to the world, like, you know, all my masters before me, they've all given with complete detachment, with full practice of the third law, the law of detachment. And so am I going to do. You know, there are also perhaps a more incremental, measured way of embracing this way of, you know, unconditional giving that is, you know, just simply take the seven laws into your life and start experimenting with each one of them in an incremental fashion. You know, try out, ask yourself, what does the law of exchange mean for me? How can I embody or inculcate the law of exchange in my life, or the law of echo in my life? In those gradual measures, you will start noticing you are rewiring your old habits.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras, and now, your host, Aditya Jayakumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, the show where we help you calm your mind, relax your nervous system, and experience deep states of bliss. In today's episode, I chat with Sujit Ravindran about powerful topics such as abundance, giving and receiving, trusting the universe, and living your dharma, your purpose, while allowing the universe to fully support you on your sacred divine mission here on planet Earth. So if you like this topic and if you'd like to support us, then make sure that you hit the subscribe button, especially if you are on YouTube or maybe if you're on iTunes or Spotify. Hit the subscribe or hit the follow button, because that does something to the algorithm, allows more people to get to know about our podcast and this episode. And that's one small way in which you can help us and stay tuned. And before we actually start today's amazing episode, which I'm really looking forward to, let's listen to our latest lovely iTunes review written by a user named Masala Girl on iTunes. And she says, inspirational podcast. I love listening to the My Seven Chakras podcast. Informative and inspirational. AJ has fantastic guests and a great interviewing style. A must for anyone looking for tools and techniques for living their best life. So if you'd like for me to read out your review as well, then make sure you go to my7chakras.com/review. my7chakras.com/review. Write out your thoughts and I'll read it out. All right. So with that being said, let's bring on our special guest for today, Sujit Ravindran. Sujit Ravindran is a contemporary mystic and a serial author. He helps leaders, institutions, and movements in the social, political, and business domains access unforeseen realms of awareness and fulfill their true reason for existence. He is the author of The Seven Mystical Laws of Abundance and the founder of the Being Abundance Movement. For work around spiritual upliftment, he was also awarded the honor of the Ambassador of Peace in 2012. By the Council of Assisi in Italy. So, Sujit, how are you doing? Welcome.
Good morning, or should I say good evening, Aditya. Thank you for having me here. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's such an honor to connect with you. And thanks to technology, we both are able to actually enjoy the benefit of the sun, except that I'm enjoying the dawning of the sun, so to speak. And I guess in your place, the sun is sort of setting down, but it's still the sun.
Italia, you know, it's a few minutes past 6 p.m. in Italy. Yeah, so evening time.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Sujit, with all my guests, I usually start with the very beginning, or at least beginning in this human form. Where were you born and brought up? And what was your, you know, childhood like?
Me, I was born in India, in Kerala. I don't know where in India are your roots from.
Mumbai.
Growing up as a country boy, you know, with the little delights of making those paper boats and floating them in the rainwater and, you know, running after the ducks and the frogs. Perhaps the matter of most distinction in my life was finding my first teacher at a very young age. And while I went to the regular schools, Aditya, in parallel, the thing that enamored me even more was the subjective education of life with these masters, with these teachers. You know, you go to school and you learn about geography and history and chemistry. Whereas with these masters, you learn about life, love, joy, fear, health, the purpose of existence. And that subjective side of my education is something that I've loved so much. And I've grown up with that. And I, until 22, I was in India. I went to university, my first university there. But always, in parallel, there was this other education that was continuing, that was about the spiritual sciences, about consciousness, about the subjective self. That's pretty much how it's been. And since then, from 22, been traveling, living abroad, many different continents, many different roles, activities. You know, there's a beautiful saying, you know, you travel to find yourself. Very true, very true. And the older and older I get now, I see, Aditya, that, you know, a deeper connection, returning to India, wanting to discover more of myself, reconnect with the immense spiritual ocean that India is, deepening that connection in spite of the lockdown, the COVID, and all of that. And Italia is such a beautiful place to be. You know, middle of the world in a certain way, yet close to India. And it gives me space to just be with myself very often.
Very, very true. I mean, I love what you shared there. And you said Italy is very close to India. It is, I think, very close to India physically as well as culturally, because if you think about it, back in the times of the Roman Empire, there was a lot of trade that happened between Italy, the Roman Empire, as well as South India in particular, Kerala, because of the spice trade. And at one point, I think there was a Roman senator, Pliny, the elder, who complained at the senator and saying that, you know, this must stop. We're sending all our gold to India. What's happening?
I'm not sure a lot of that is happening these days. But indeed, you know, you look at it, you know, Italians, my wife is Italian, by the way. And, you know, you look at their culture, customs, you know, their excitement about their festivals and holidays, very similar to India.
Right.
Same thing, you know, the breadth and tastes of their food in Italia, very much like India. The family values, the relevance and importance they give to family, again, very, very similar to how it's in India. And thinking of family, I also know you told me that your mother is recovering these days from COVID. And I want to send my thoughts, my prayers, my energy to her for a rapid healing. And of course, Aditya, strength to you in these moments.
Yeah, I mean, if we think about the spiritual journey, this is the ultimate test that I have gone through, me and my family, in just being in a position where I am so helpless across the seven seas, across the world, when they are not allowing you to travel that much. And even in Mumbai, my mom is in the hospital, still on ICU, behind the doors, where you don't get to see her. Doctors who are looking after her, giving her the medicines. I feel that the healing energy that we're able to send, or maybe the prayers, sometimes could be equally or even more powerful in being able to, you know, allow her, for her lungs to strengthen, heart to strengthen, and then come out of this stronger than before. So thanks a lot for the prayers.
Beautiful.
So Sujit, you've shared so much so far. You said that you met your guru, your teacher, at a very young age, that really allowed you to have that subjective experience of what this world is like and what the spiritual experience is like. And then at the age of 22, you decided to travel. And when you said that, what came to my mind was the story of Bilbo Baggins from Lord of the Rings. I'm not sure if you... The importance of travel. And when he was home for too much time, he would feel that sense of, you know, nervousness that I want to go back again, because in traveling, he gets to know who he truly is and gets to find home. And so my question to you is, what was your first job like that sort of gave you an opportunity to travel to all these different countries and meet people? How did it begin for you?
I was a management consultant in the maritime industry.
Okay.
So that is, you know, completely different from my spiritual world. And it's, for most of that life, you know, of course, you know, maritime industry means you get to travel. I was a thirsty, young, you know, curious about the world. And that's how I got involved also with leadership, with, you know, getting into the corporate world and multinationals, you know, being taking me to many different parts of the world. So it was a blessing. It was a blessing. As much the lockdown has been a blessing for me, this last 1 year. Yeah, I should say 1 year. Slightly over 1 year. It's been a completely, completely different lifestyle. I don't know how it's been for you, and I'm curious to hear how the lockdown has been for you. And at the expense of sounding narcissistic, you know, the last 12 to 15 months have been some of the most profound, rich, fulfilling months of my life.
Yeah.
And that, in spite of this 180 degrees pivot from my previous life of, you know, nearly 9 months every year on the road. There is a beauty in this too.
Yeah.
An amazing beauty.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, apart from the last, I'd say 20 days when my mom actually got admitted into the hospital, I'd say for the most part, the lockdown has really taught me a lot about life. It has allowed me to serve and support people through breath work, through meditation. It has allowed me to go within, experience my blocks, experience my darkness, experience my challenges, and also find a way to actually use what I learned in order to go beyond, and knowing that, you know, this is not the end. This, we're going to come out of this. This is a temporary phase. And also, you know, being kind to others also. I think that's important.
Yeah.
This phase is creating a lot of divisiveness, and knowing that everyone is doing their best with the information that they have and with the opportunities they have. So,
yeah, that's a great way of putting it. You know, everyone is trying their best.
So, Sujit, what is your definition of abundance?
Well, what is irrelevant here, Aditya, is what I feel abundance is. Because, you know, I look at my two little kids. You know, for them, abundance is what? Play, love, togetherness, seizing every moment. I look at some of my neighbors, you know, old couple, you know, I live in the woods. So the nearest neighbor is like quite a few meters away. You know, for them, abundance is quiet moment together, sharing moments with their near and dear ones, being healthy. And here is where the most important invitation, Aditya, for us is to just take a step back and ask what abundance is for me, for each one of us. And just to give that space to the audience, to the listeners too, you know, abundance can mean one of five things, five areas in life, depending on the priorities in our life at this given moment. For some people, money, materials, and health, or health, is abundance. For some other people, love, companionship, and community is abundance. For some other people, success, self-worth, and identity is abundance. For yet other people, meaning, purpose, and wisdom is abundance. And lastly, for some other people, self-realization, transcendence, and bliss is abundance. So, you know, somebody who is yearning for deeper meaning and higher purpose, extending that person success and identity is not going to be abundance.
Right.
So abundance is a very personal thing, depending on what our, which stage of life we are in. So, you know, I wish I could give you like a very straightforward one line answer, but the fact is abundance is very subjective.
I love that you give our audience a moment to really ponder what abundance means to you, because it's so subjective. For some people, abundance could be having wealth, to support themselves. For some people, abundance means they're stuck in a job that's paying a lot, but they just want a break, a vacation. For me, abundance right now is just meeting my mom. That is the abundance that I would have to see her objective experience. And Sujit, one of the things you talk about is the law of exchange. And you write that the universe operates in giving and receiving. So could you tell us more about this?
Yeah. You know, Aditya, the seven mystical laws of abundance, or the seven spiritual laws of abundance, you see, these are, I myself inherited this wisdom when I was very, very young. Did not make any sense to me then. Perhaps at an unconscious level, I knew that these laws were relevant, were true. But perhaps at an intellectual level, I wasn't ready to embrace them. And it's only been in the last 15 years that I have truly embraced those laws and made those laws the modus operandi of my life. Of these seven laws, the first law, perhaps the foundational law, is the law of exchange. It can be interpreted in a very, very holistic way if you want, or it can also be interpreted in a very mundane way in our daily lives. In the holistic sense, the sages recognize that, you know, what we call the universe, you know, constantly operates in the force field of the masculine and the feminine. The two energy forces, you know, the force field in which all of manifestation, all of birthing, all of creation and destruction happens. And if you don't keep that giving, receiving, the energy flowing, then there's not going to be a universe. Which, if we translate, Aditya, into our regular life, you know, just look at a relationship that you have, you know, with a partner or a friend or a neighbor or a business partner. If you stop practicing giving, after a while, you will notice that that universe, you know, that microcosm of a universe called your relationship will slowly disappear if you stop giving. Common sense. Now, perhaps a bit counterintuitive for most of us is the receiving part, the capacity to unconditionally receive. Kids are fantastic at that. You know, kids don't have any thoughts about receiving. You give them something, they'll take it, grab it, and run. They don't stand there wondering, wait a minute, you know, now what do I give back in return? You know, now should I be giving her a glass one day in the future, or maybe I should find myself some flowers to give to her? No. Kids have no such filters to receive. They are the best examples of unconditional receiving. So back to the first law, the law of exchange, the universe operates in giving and receiving. It comes down to our capacity to unconditionally give and unconditionally receive. You know, giving means giving for the pure joy of giving. Not, you know, absorbed like many capitalists that I know around me. They are absorbed with one question, you know, what's in it for me? Nothing like that, you know. Come at it from innocence, discover the pure joy in the act of giving, and give for the sake of that joy. Mm-hmm. Same thing, unconditional receiving. Receive like a kid. That is practicing the law of exchange.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
That is so wonderful. And meanwhile, I noticed there's a crow that is wanting to get in on our conversation. So I'm just going to close the window a little bit.
Not at all. I've actually enjoyed that crow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I love that we have all these different planetary forces that want to get in on this wonderful conversation. But, you know, for the ears of our listeners, I just want to be a bit mindful. But what you're saying is so true, because, you know, when we think about either giving or receiving, there's so much of emotion involved, right? Especially when we are receiving, we're always thinking about, you know, what is that better gift that I can give to that person? Because I want to tap into reciprocity. I want to make myself look good in terms of them. Because also on the other side, when someone gives, there's an expectation of return either today or tomorrow, or maybe you need to do a favor for me. So there's always this, you know, weird emotions that are there in receiving, but also giving. So that's really interesting. And hopefully it brings into awareness the status quo and the importance of unconditionally giving. That's so important.
And receiving. Indeed, you know, you touched upon, you know, two impediments to the practice of the law of exchange. You know, this idea of a reciprocity, that somehow because of our inner lack, there is a conditioning. And we've actually, many of us, we've even made it our reciprocity. For me to feel my self-worth, I expect reciprocity in this relationship. That is lack. You know, why am I obsessed with reciprocity? That means I'm attached to the outcome, the rewards, which is counter to the third law of abundance, the law of detachment. So what we receive is proportional to the level of detachment, level of my detachment from the rewards. But if, as you put it, you know, you use two words, you use the word reciprocity and you use the word expectation of returns. That is counter to the third law of abundance, the law of detachment. A detachment from the rewards, and knowing the first law that the universe operates in giving, receiving, knowing that's how the universe operates, that, you know, if I give, so shall I receive. Knowing that, to what extent can I completely detach from the reward and discover the joy of giving? And that obviously means resolving any attachment I have to ideas like reciprocity, or, you know, I expect a return for my investment. The right return always comes. The further I'm detached from the reward, the more it multiplies.
Yeah. And for someone listening to this episode right now, if you're enjoying this, make sure that you share it on your wall or in your group, because, you know, I'm really enjoying this conversation and we're sharing so much. So, you know, this small button that you can press, it will make a huge difference. So Sujit, you also said that the universe does not give back in the same order in which it is given. So help us explore this a little bit, the order part of it.
You know, it's there are many dimensions to this, by the way. The fifth law, Aditya, is the law of non-locality.
That means giving and receiving is non-local in time and space, right. Both in time and space. You know, in space, it could mean two things. One is, you know, you give me something, Aditya. If you really look at the law of abundance, mm-hmm. what you receive back may not necessarily be from me. You know, like this incredible gift that you're offering people, breath work and meditation and all of that in these lockdown times, especially in these lockdown times, it's become so important for people to use the opportunity to heal themselves mm-hmm. because a lot of people are suffering from isolation, from loneliness. And I don't want to sound insensitive. I don't want to sound narcissistic. But there's a simple realization, however provocative it may sound mm-hmm. to some of our listeners. There's a simple realization that when I feel lonely, mm-hmm. when I'm alone, it is a symptom of lack of self-love. If I love myself, if I rejoice my own company, if I love my companionship, mm. how am I alone? Right. You know, I am there for myself. I mean, I as capital I, you know, I'm there for myself. You know, I'm never alone, that I'm in the presence of the self. Mm. And through the presence of the self, I am in the presence of all my beloved ones. Mm. All my ancestors and forefathers and foremothers and all of that, you know, we are truly never alone. And it is just in that practice of self-love that we experience that irreplaceable companionship. Mm. So, you know, I COVID times, this has become a very important prerogative for yeah. many, many people, lockdown times. And with this lockdown, you know, the kind of service you offer, breath work, meditation, it acquires a completely more important significance today. And yet, important here, the fifth law of abundance, the law of non-locality means that, and I want to acknowledge what you're doing. You told me, Aditya, that you offer all your service to humanity and the planet on a donation basis, you too.
Yeah, at the moment, it's a one-on-one sessions. I'm sort of going step by step into this experiment where all my one-on-one sessions, you know, are fully donation-based. Pay what you want, pay what your intuition tells you, and service first. Let me, you know, give you the support that you need.
Wow.
Yeah.
And remember, the fifth law, the law of non-locality, means it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you know, whether you are offering a service
yeah.
one-on-one or towards a group or towards a plant or an animal.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. What will happen is you will notice the circle close.
Right.
That means in return for what you offer, what you deserve will always come to you from the most, you know, from a source unexpected. It will come. That is non-locality in space. And another dimension of non-locality in space is, you know, simple. You go to a supermarket and you extend $5, you get a bottle of shampoo. Now, you see, that already is a different form of exchange. You know, the lady at the counter is not giving you $5 Canadian back. You're receiving something else. That already in space, in form, is different. So it doesn't matter, you know, what in what medium we are exchanging, as long as there is exchange. And the law of non-locality says that the universe is non-local in space. That means for all the gifts that you receive, you will receive back. Sometimes it's from parents. And I know in the continent that I
am living at this moment. I notice also in North America, I notice a lot of adults from their parents. You know, you're going through a difficult time. You're in a process of discovering yourself and you don't have an income, etc. And your parents, you know, they see you, they notice you, they recognize the struggle you're in. And they're like, you know what, I want to give you $1,000. And there are many adults, you know, in this continent and also in North America that I meet who feel bad about accepting from their parents. And I tend to ask them lovingly, though. I tend to ask them, like, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong? You know, you're not putting a gun to somebody's head and you're demanding. No, the universe knows that you need, and what you need is being brought to you through your parents, through the channel, through the government, whatever it is. The best gift we can offer in exchange is to have a sincere thought or word of gratitude. That's enough. You know, case closed. And that is the non-locality in space. Similarly, non-locality in time, Aditya. In time, you know, you might be extending a breathwork service to somebody you know or a client, and she might not be in a place today to, you know, offer you a token of appreciation in return. So be it. You know, there would come a time in the future where she or somebody else will reward you. Or maybe in the past, you already got the reward for what you are offering today. That is non-locality in time. Recognizing our rewards come not in that instantaneous moment when we give, but in the past or in the future. That is the non-local nature of how the universe works with abundance. And opening up to that abundance with the simple recognition that the universe is a very, very generous force that helps me a lot, that really helps me a lot.
Yeah, and I'm sensing that anyone listening to this episode right now can feel a weight lifted off their shoulders because they don't have to keep score anymore, keep account anymore. You know, I owe this person this much, I owe this person that much, I gotta give. And while that might be prudent or the adult thing to do, what you're saying is you gotta tap into a bigger accountant, which is the universe, and know that your receiving is not going to happen from the same person. It might, but might not be from the same person. Might not be exactly tomorrow or day after tomorrow. Or maybe you already received it and you're really tapping into a grander technology, so to speak. But my question is, how can a person who's new to this develop the trust? Because it feels like we're in a boat and it's deep waters and you're encouraging them to jump into the water, hoping that there'll be some level of buoyancy that's going to push them above rather than drown them. And especially a lot of people might be fathers or mothers and they've got dependents like elderly parents or even children. So in trusting the universe of give and return and that it will come back, there's yeah. a little bit of risk or trust involved, right?
You know, oh, absolutely, absolutely. Thousands of people
right.
have undertaken this experiment since I released the Seven Mystical Laws of Abundance. And everyone has a very unique story, Aditya, to share. You have a very unique story to share. Can you take a few seconds for the sake of our listeners to lay out your process of coming to offering all your services on a donation basis?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My thought process was, firstly, breathwork. My service is useful. And I thought to myself, inspired by you, like, who am I to put a dollar figure on the services that I offer that are one-on-one. If I raise my prices, that's limiting access to some people who need it the most. If I lower my prices, maybe I'm undervaluing myself because everyone values a particular service differently. Somebody who is deep into breath work will be like, yeah, that's good. I'm used to this. Somebody who's for the first time in breath work has a lot of stress, burnout. For them, this could be worth $1,000 because that could mean they get a new job, find a new relationship. And also, I loved your encouragement in terms of telling the people to go through the process of estimating what a session is worth to them rather than to me. Yes. And also opening up to more abundance. It felt a bit more freeing. And, you know, yeah. I'm loving it so far.
And I'm really happy to hear that, you know, you sticked to it.
Yeah.
You maintained the faith and the courage to stay with that conviction.
Yeah.
You know, you said it right, you know, that it'll be just your ego if you try to put a price tag on your service.
Mm-hmm.
Because who are you to determine what your service is worth to me?
Yeah.
You know, I might be in a stage of my life where my life is in complete darkness.
Yeah.
And I would get into practice with you.
Yeah.
And the light emerges. Mm. That suddenly becomes priceless.
Yeah.
And for you to say, wait a minute, no, this session is worth $95 or $120 or $150 or whatever, you know, the going rates are.
Yeah.
You know, that is presumptuous. That is the ego in function.
Yeah.
And I, 15 years ago, you know, stepping out of the corporate world, you know, honoring the calling that I was feeling from within to give myself fully to this, you know, to help build a conscious world.
Yeah.
You know, I had to ponder very deeply on the same question that you have been more recently pondering on.
Mm-hmm.
And no amount of intellectual engineering can help. You know, I remember catching myself at one moment, this is like more than 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where I used to keep a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Really, you know, calculating how much I would need every month in order to make both ends. Do I offer every day or every week, etc., in order to make both ends meet?
Yeah.
You know, there came a moment in my life where I caught myself, wait a minute, I am allowing my ego to dictate its way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not suggesting that our listeners take the kind of radical approach that I did.
Yeah.
That was one day I just deleted that spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
And I simply said, like, you know what, to hell with all of that.
Mm.
You know, I simply just need to practice a faith.
Mm.
Faith in the generosity of the universe. And as you beautifully put it, you know, there is this higher bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
There's a universal bookkeeper, accountant, who keeps track of every act of giving out there. Called it the field of consciousness, where there's an algorithm, an intelligence that keeps track of every act of giving.
Right.
And having faith in that field is essential.
Mm.
Now, the approach I took, Aditya, was a very radical one.
Mm.
You know, deleting that file and then simply just announcing to the world, like, you know, all my masters before me, they've all given.
Mm-hmm.
With complete detachment, with full practice of the third law, the law of detachment. And so am I going to do.
This episode is brought to you by me, AJ, because I'm offering you a free Breathwork Foundations course. If you've been interested in exploring breathwork and learning about the why behind breathwork, including the science and evidence that makes this ancient practice so amazing, then you got to check out this course. You will discover how to correct your breathing, how to boost your immunity and protect yourself from pathogens and bacteria, what the ancients told us about breath, how to lose weight using breathwork, how to improve sleep, digestion, and mental clarity using a simple breathing technique. So come enroll in this free course and learn the basics of breathwork by going to my7chakras.com/free breathwork course. That's my7chakras.com/free breathwork course. Once again, that's my7chakras.com/free breathwork course.
You know, there are also perhaps a more incremental, measured way of embracing this way of unconditional giving that is, you know, just simply take the seven laws into your life and start experimenting with each one of them in an incremental fashion. You know, try out, ask yourself, what does the law of exchange mean for me? How can I embody or inculcate the law of exchange in my life or the law of echo in my life?
Right.
In those gradual measures, you will start noticing you are rewiring your old habits. The way you were attaching yourself to the reward or, you know, some people who are in light work or in spiritual work or in coaching, etc. I've met people who very actively realign their portfolio of clients.
Mm.
So they look at the clients who are profitable, the clients who are not, and they'd say like, you know what, hey, you know what, these are unprofitable clients, so I devote less time to these clients. And in my portfolio, these are the profitable clients. So I'm going to give more attention to them so that my returns will multiply without understanding that it's all integral. The reason why you're receiving so much abundance through the affluent clients is because of all the gifts that you offer to the less privileged or the less fortunate clients. So an important practice to do here simply is to suspend that discrimination. Wow. So it can be a very gradual measured process, Aditya, to answer your question.
Yeah.
To take each bit of this reflection into your life personally and step by step, start making those inner shifts. And then you will be amazed with the amount of abundance that's coming your way.
That's very true and very profoundly put. Sometimes I think about things but don't have the lexicon. True, you know, I notice all these Facebook ads and, you know, people who want to, you know, help you grow your business. And they're like, you know, look at your portfolio, you know, go towards the high ticket clients, people who are able to afford your services. And the people who are not, let them go. They don't deserve you. And I always was not attached to that way of looking at things. I mean, I'm deeply appreciative that I got to start my journey through a podcast because it would imply that I had to put a lot of work in creating 1 hour, 1 hour, 15 minute long interviews for free without expecting, you know, much in return. And to your point, when my mom was sick in the hospital, I reached out to them in a very vulnerable way, seeking nothing but appreciation, prayers, and many of them were Reiki healers, energy healers, yoga therapists. And the response that I got from people, hundreds of comments, people praying, email replies, saying that I'm holding your mom in your intention, she's coming out of here. That to me is the greatest amount of social currency there is.
There you go.
And these are people there who have maybe they bought a workshop from me, maybe they've not spent anything on me, and they themselves are going through financial difficulties. But it's just the goodwill sometimes that makes all the difference, that helps you get those high ticket clients.
You know, it is, you know, what a beautiful story.
Yeah.
What a beautiful story. You know, when you have so that much love in your life, Aditya, you know, what would an extra zero or an extra couple of zeros in your bank account mean?
Exactly.
Made it out so beautiful humanity is.
Yeah.
It is, I know many, many of us, you know, I hate to say it, most of us, we've created a narrative in our life that people are not generous. In a select few are generous. But not true. Not true. Yes, because of our inner lack, many of us are obsessed with self-interest. I understand that, because the ego is the force that ensures our self-preservation.
Correct.
And when the ego hijacks our life, we will just be obsessed with self-preservation. You know, how do I keep my soul and body together? And when somebody is caught up in the force of, in the consciousness of self-preservation, then to expect them to give generously to other is difficult. We understand. Yet, deep within that egoic self, there is an infinitely generous self that every single human being has. And this unwavering conviction that I have in the generosity of the universe, of human beings, that is today unshakable, because I have so many examples. Because I'm a practitioner of abundance, I'm very mindful of every act of giving and receiving that keeps happening around me. And I notice over and over again how generous people are. They are incredibly generous. So having that faith in the generosity of people, that is an extremely important groundwork for abundance creation.
Wonderful, wonderful. I love that what you shared is not to mistake the present identity of a person with who they are, you know, in the long term, their soul. And if one person is generous, then you are essentially interacting with the rest of humanity. You're interacting with the rest of potentiality. If one person can be generous, then the other person can be too. Just like the quote that says, you're not a drop in the ocean, you're the entire ocean in a single drop. So in one single human being, you're interacting with the rest of humanity. And if one person can express that generosity, who knows who they were before? If you look at the author of the Ramayana, Valmiki, he was a robber in a past life, but he decided to change. He wrote the greatest book.
Absolutely. That is such a profound reminder for us, Aditya, that you know, we have within us that self that is infinitely generous, that has the potentiality for generosity, for incessant generosity. And holding every person, in spite of how they reciprocate in a given moment, holding every person to that standard, that is a very important step in our own abundance creation within.
So since you made that change to your pricing model, so to speak, offering everything on a donation basis, what is like the most interesting story or anecdote, you know, you came across that re-emphasized that you made an amazing decision for yourself and your family? Anything that comes to mind?
I could take the next 2 weeks filling you with stories of incredible abundance. But my current favorite story is the story of this home. This home is a home that's located in the hills next to Venice. And, you know, by the way, you're located in Vancouver, BC, right? All right. I don't know if you know that I used to have a home in West Vancouver.
I don't know. I didn't know that.
All right. You know, 10 years in West Vancouver, and it was in 2019 that my family and I, we decided to move further east. And, you know, the yearning for all of us towards greater self-realization. We felt we wanted to move further east, and we were like, you know, we don't know where the universe wants us to be next, but we will allow the universe to show us. Long story short, and it was clear to us that we're not going to be in a city. You know, West Vancouver, you cannot call West Vancouver exactly a city.
Yeah.
But still, it was a city. You know, it was clear, city, no, we want to be in nature. That was the only thing that was clear. Whether it's going to be Europe, whether it's going to be Asia, nothing clear. And we said, we're going to watch the universe. We're going to listen to the universe. The universe is going to communicate to us where we ought to be next.
Right.
And guess what? In 2019, a group of people from across the globe, more than 300 people from across the globe, came together and gifted my two kids a home. This home is in the hills with nature on four sides. Wherever I look, all I can see is nature. Massively spacious, you know, lot of land around, a spacious home. We received this as a gift from more than 300 people on five continents.
Amazing.
And I myself, I think you know, Aditya, I live a life of material minimalism. Simply because, you know, I'm not somebody who needs much.
Yeah.
I'm happy wearing something that I've worn for the last 10 years. I don't need a replacement every season. I continue to practice reducing my eco footprint to be kind to the ecology. So material minimalism, and there's also a very profound spiritual reason, by the way, behind the practice of material minimalism. We can go there if you want to. Either ways, you know, so I'm not really inclined to want to have a, you know, more material possessions in my life. But, you know, my little boy, who recently turned six, he's a wild spirit. You know, you let him be, and he's going to change the color of your home.
Yeah.
He's going to rearrange the furniture. He's going to turn your kitchen into, I don't know, a playroom. He's that kind of a wild spirit. And, you know, for my kids to have a little space where they can call home, you know, where they can draw on the walls and drag the furniture across the floor and do the things that kids love doing. That was a yearning that I expressed to the universe. You know, a place where if tomorrow I don't wake up, they still are sheltered. And talking of abundance, the way the universe has responded, you know, we have this beautiful home. They both love it to bits. They're living every square inch, square centimeter of this home. That for me is the latest story of abundance I like to share. No mortgage, no bank loans, no debts. Of course, I'm indebted forever to hundreds of people who actually, once their home was ours, more than 100 people, they came visiting from across the globe to restore the home. For restoration, you know, from saying like, you know, Sujit, just give me a place to sleep. And, you know, it was incredible. And we have a wall with the photos, the name of all these people who are generous souls. This is the universe doing its magic. The more and more you continue practicing the seven laws, the more and more you start noticing the exponentiality of things, which is the fourth law, the law of exponentiality. In a conscious plane, receiving is exponential to giving. It's only in our worldly explain, you know, in our wakeful consciousness, we think giving and receiving are proportional.
Right.
Like if I give $5 to you, I get $5 worth of shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
That is the, in our wakeful consciousness, that is how things work. But in the universal plane, in the cosmic consciousness, receiving, I give one from a very selfless place just for the joy of giving. The receiving is 10, 100, 1,000. Mm-hmm. You know, I know for myself, if I had worked my whole life for a paycheck, I would never, ever be able to, own a house like this. But that doesn't matter to the universe. And of course, with such gifts also comes great responsibility. That means, you know, the simple recognition that I have to continue to live my life consciously in service. But that is a story for you, Aditya, of how generous the universe is.
Thanks a lot for sharing. This is indeed a powerful story, a testimony, so to speak, about the nature of the universe. And I love that you shared. And from time to time, we need to listen to what the universe is telling us. And if I'm being honest, the universe right now is calling me to Vancouver Island, to live in Victoria. And as you might know, yeah, you know, 3 years back, I went to Vancouver, Victoria Island, and I sat in along the, I think it's called Gonzales Bay, right across James Bay, where you're in a shallow waters and you can see the Mount Olympus Mountains on the other side in the USA. And I had a very mystical experience there, maybe like a Satori moment where I could see the water glistening far, you know, into the horizon, and I could feel the warm air and the pebbles below was comforting me. There was a sacred energy, so to speak, that was beckoning me. And I knew deep down that sometime in the future, I'll spend some time in Victoria, away from the city, closer to nature, really getting opportunities to ground myself, put my legs in the sand and feel the presence, the grounding. So, you know, if I'm being honest, it's calling me, but we'll have to see, you know, where this leads. And my question to you is, Sujit, in order for you to live such a lifestyle as a father, as a husband, you need to have a really strong and supportive wife as well, right? Somebody who also trusts in these principles of abundance, of spirituality. Because otherwise, if you don't have somebody like that, they'll be like, are you okay? You know, you got to be a responsible person. How are you doing this, right? So are you open to sharing how you met your wife, and developed this strong spiritual partnership that is making an impact and helping people around the world?
Thanks for that question. You know, indeed, Aditya, you know, definitely I'm fortunate that my wife also shares my standards, you know, when it comes to the giving and receiving part of life. She's a world-renowned coach and author for women on helping women embody their divine feminine and helps countless women across the planet, you know, one-on-one and in groups, but mostly in groups these days.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you know, if you are in a relationship, it helps to have a partner who shares your sacred standards for life. Because, you know, if you are stuck in a relationship where all you're doing is spending your time trying to force fit your relationship to your dreams, then that is not your destiny. That is not God's intention for you. It is not how it's meant to be.
Right.
You know, alignment, balance, you know, symphony is the nature of the universe. If you look around and look at the perfection of nature, you notice that symphony, you know. Winter comes to an end. Spring begins. Birds
automatically know how to make a nest.
Mm-hmm.
They lay eggs, hatch them. The bees, the flowers bloom. Bees know how to go find the honey. They make their hives. You see, there is a perfection to that harmony. And that is what each one of us, we are destined to. If that is not what is manifesting in our lives, mm-hmm. then there is healing involved. There's healing involved. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been very fortunate that, you know, I have a partner who shares my sacred standards with respect to life. And it's not just my partner, but many, many people around me who feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And she's somebody who I met actually in Italia.
Mm-hmm.
This is 11 years ago. You know, and Italia has been one land that has welcomed me for many, many years with such a wide open heart for my service, for my events, retreats, talks. Every year, Italy used to be a land that I would visit.
Okay.
And if you know Italians, they are extremely connection-driven people. They can't live without connection.
Mm-hmm.
They are high intense connection people. And with the advent of social media, Italians have intensified that community feeling online.
Right.
And me being a spiritual practitioner in that field, you know, and my wife was also part of that field. That's how we connected. We got to, you know, because we were part of the same community, we met. And we met, and we met in Milano, and we realized we have a common path to walk together. Amazing. That is the romantic side of the story.
love that you shared that, and that you were open to sharing it. And it's so important to not just if that's your goal, to be in a relationship, but to be in a relationship where both of you have a mission, a purpose, but also are supporting each other in working towards that goal, but also growing together. That's amazing. And Sujit, you also said something once along the lines of sometimes being in a country or growing up in a country that was once colonized lead to some scarcity mindset, right? Is that correct?
Oh, very much. Yeah, please. Yeah.
So my question was around that, like, what can we do about this? How can people, especially those who have inherited some level of scarcity through patterns or traumas collective from their ancestors, how can they experience more freedom and more of an abundance mentality in this situation?
Wow. You raised a very, very important point. Mm. That is, a lot of our scarcity wounds are inherited.
Mm.
I know growing up, the difficulty, the material difficulty I had, the material scarcity. And perhaps looking back, the more formative or conditioning experience wasn't the material scarcity in my life. It was the scarcity consciousness of my parents. Because their parents and their parents, etc., they lived in so much scarcity.
Yeah.
And growing up with that scarcity, you know, there is something beautiful also about it. That is, there is a great appreciation of the material resources in life.
Yeah.
That, you know, you receive something and you cherish it so much because you it is precious to you.
Mm.
So it brings a different level of awareness towards things. And I'm grateful for that, because even today, I have never forgotten to cherish the beauty of the little things that come my way.
Yeah.
You know, somebody wants to give me gifts. You know, it's enough that they give me one gift so that I can fully, fully live the experience of that gift. And the scarcity consciousness, though, you know, we inherited from our past lives and from our ancestors, as I did from my parents, that you know, they suffered a lot. They struggled a lot. And, you know, I'm grateful for those struggles. And I notice that growing up, I also used to measure the value of things through that scarcity consciousness. And the choice we have, though, is fully, fully within our capacity. And you know, Aditya, you told me that you signed up to the Being Abundance movement. You know, this is a movement to help humanity shift from the scarcity consciousness to the abundance consciousness. Because if you look at the pre-COVID times, you know, the normal that humanity used to live, you know, I'm surprised that some people would call it normal. Because most people around me experienced that life as normal. You know, work-life balance was off. Many were disengaged from their communities and society. The economic inequity was so big. Political apathy and polarization just growing and growing, not to mention the ecological devastation. That was the old normal. And if you take a step back and you look at how we created that old normal, you will realize it's all because of our inner scarcity. You know, because of our inner scarcity, we give 70, 80 hours of ourselves to work and not to our family. Because of inner scarcity, we have disconnected ourselves from our community. We don't invest any time into our communities. Because of inner scarcity, we have hoarded money. And there's such huge economic inequity in society. Because of inner scarcity, we have been so power hungry. We have been so ideological in our politics and governance. Because of our inner scarcity, we have plundered the ecology. You see, if we can use this lockdown moment to help humanity shift from the scarcity paradigm, the scarcity consciousness, to the abundance consciousness, then we can create a completely new reality. And that choice is the mission of the Being Abundance movement. And the simple recognition here, there, Aditya, is that we have a choice. Every one of us, we have the choice. We can make the choice to shift ourselves from the inner lack to inner abundance. And that is the law of echo. And the law of echo says that everything that manifests around us is an echo of everything that we manifest within us. So when we experience a relationship scarcity or material scarcity, make no mistake, you know, there is inner scarcity. And that inner scarcity is getting reflected or echoed outwardly in the material plane or in the worldly plane. And in the Being Abundance movement, we focus on helping humanity embody the abundance consciousness. Because from that place, there is this incredible shift, incredible healing and growth that we can orchestrate. Incredible. Just that inner place. So doesn't matter. You know, in 1100 AD, you know, India used to be the richest land on the planet with 30% of global GDP, and then thousands of years of material scarcity and relationship breakdowns and plundering and genocide. None of that matters. It doesn't matter that our grandparents starved, our parents starved. You know, we all lived in one room and, you know, there was one lamp in the whole house with one switch. That none of that is relevant. All of that is there. We are conditioned within. But to move from the scarcity consciousness to the abundance consciousness,
Mm-hmm.
That is a personal choice. The seven laws are basically tools to enforce that personal choice. But it's a personal choice. And the moment we embody that abundance consciousness, then in the worldly plane,
mm-hmm.
in the material plane, everything will transform into abundance.
Love that. Love that. You know, my knowing about India and the history of India was limited to what I learned in school from the textbooks when I was growing up. And boy, did I learn that the textbooks were full of propaganda. But 2 years back, 3 years back actually, I came across some books that really illuminated the truth about India and the vastness about our heritage and the knowledge of yoga and tantra and Ayurveda and Vedanta. And the fact that a lot of this information was actually repurposed once it came back to the West. And no bad to the West, they also did their job in, you know, promoting Indian Vedic sciences and yogic sciences. But, you know, like you put it, you know, there's always an opportunity to now go back and really uncover the truth about what India was, is, and will be as we cherish our own gifts, whether it's from Kerala, whether it's from Kashmir, North India, West India, East India, and also support the rest of the world in this growth and development. And I love that you're putting forth a new idea, a new vision about what we can bring about in this world from the old normal, which wasn't really the normal, it was a bad normal, to a new and empowering normal for the rest of humanity. Sujit, you mentioned that true wealth is neither a possession nor a resource. It stems from the universe. So help us, you know, understand this concept a bit, because there's so many different definitions yeah. about wealth and, you know, how you build it.
Yeah.
So help us understand this a bit.
Wow. You know, I want to acknowledge that the thought you shared about India, you know, how mm-hmm. grateful I am mm-hmm. that there is an element of Indianness mm-hmm. within me, you know.
Yeah.
If I can be accused of any identification, which is the nature of the ego, is what, you know, identification, identifying with things, with anything. If you can accuse me of identification, let it be this one thing, mm-hmm. the Indianness that I'm gratefully holding within me.
Wonderful.
I don't mean India as a geographic thing or as a religious concept or anything. No, simply as a localized field of consciousness that helps me in my mukti, my liberation. So thank you for those words of acknowledgement to our roots. You know, the process of self-realization includes fully owning the wholeness, including our roots, that an Iranian can never be fully self-realized by fully cutting their spiritual umbilical cord from their heritage.
Yeah.
Like an Indian cannot,
yeah.
you know. You can become a fully Canadian or an American, and with having that spiritual connection to a vast ocean of which, you know, you are a part of.
Mm.
You know, you are not only a part of that vast ocean, you're also, as you put it before, a microcosm of that ocean.
Yeah.
So when you cut that umbilical cord to your roots, you're actually diminishing that vastness of that microcosm within you.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for those words of acknowledging your roots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the seventh law of abundance is the law of inexhaustibility.
Mm.
That means simple. True wealth is inexhaustible. And this is again subjective. For some people, the IT knowledge is wealth. For you, your wisdom of breathwork is wealth.
Mm.
You know, in the sense that when you offer a breathwork session to somebody, suddenly you're not depleted. You don't lose in the process. You still have the knowledge of breath work with you, and somebody has benefited from it.
Mm-hmm.
Love, happiness, laughter is wealth. Because when you share wealth, I mean, sorry, when you share love, it multiplies.
Yeah.
It doesn't reduce at your end.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it in a purely clinical way, in a purely economical way, you know, it's not easy to understand the expansiveness of wealth, true wealth. You know, what do we say? You know, in the materialistic paradigm, we say, oh, you know what? We create wealth through sweat, toil, hard labor. We create wealth. There's an alternate paradigm. And that paradigm, the paradigm of the wise souls, the mystics, the sages, is the simple recognition that the universe is an abundant field. It's a field of infinite abundance, that what we call the unmanifest is a field of infinite possibilities, a field from which anything can be created. Anything can be created. And the moment you are willing to accept that, you know, wealth is neither created nor destroyed, that wealth is not something that when we put hard labor and a lot of sweat and toil, 80 hours a week, 90 hours a week, create wealth. That is the post-industrial age capitalistic thinking. And fortunately, I mean, Vancouver is a very spiritually vibrant city where people are actively exploring alternate modalities of attracting abundance. There is a this recognition that we need to tap into this field of infinite abundance. And tapping into that field means it's not an act. It's not an act of doingness. It's an act of beingness. When we align ourselves more and more and more with that field, with the universal field of abundance, then automatically we are also abundance. So the way to attract abundance is a daily process of self-attunement with the universe. Or I'd say being abundance, the reason why the movement is called the Being Abundance Movement. That if you want to manifest abundance in the worldly setting, the first thing we need to do, of course, there's an alternative, that at least that is what people believe, wrongly so, sorry to be judgmental, you know, that if I would just apply myself 100 hours a week, I will have abundance. In net, that's not true, because you might apply 100 hours of yourself to attract a little money into your bank account, but you're not abundant.
Right.
You're still depleted. You're still scarce. You're still absent in love. You're still unpresent to your kids. You're disengaged with the self. Just the celebration of the self. All these areas. Never mind. The seventh law, the law of inexhaustibility, talks about our endeavor to align the self with the universal field of infinite abundance. So it is a process of self-attunement. And the moment we can attune ourselves with that cosmic field, with that vibration, with that field, then suddenly we are also the same as abundant as the universe is. So it is that is a secret to have holistic abundance in life.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I'm sure that people who are listening to the show right now are recalibrating their understanding of what you know, they know about wealth, which is a new idea that you're sort of putting forth, which is you don't own the wealth. You don't work, hustle to get that wealth. But you are a custodian of that wealth. That is there not to enrich you, but to create something of meaning, of purpose, that will hopefully be remembered after you pass on. And so It's not about doing more, but it's about really aligning yourself with the grand flow, the tidal wave of wealth, so that it, you know, puts forth things, opportunities, people, experiences that will help you, you know, on your mission. And along that lines, you've said you are precisely given all your karma in order to live your dharma. So help us understand a little bit more about this, because sometimes karma and dharma, people have different interpretations of what they are. So
indeed, you know, I'm also looking at the time, so I want to be respectful to the constraints here.
Sure.
And not to overload the audience. You know, one of the things that I've always maintained is the science of consciousness is uncopyrighted. Mm-hmm. It is accessible to all.
Yeah.
You know, many, many, many years ago, Aditya, I was invited to speak at a plenary in a United Nations session.
Yeah.
And I spoke about the 31st basic human right. That is the right to self-realization. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a list of 30 beautiful basic human rights mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I admire each one of them. And we have a responsibility to ensure that everyone can live those rights. But I spoke about the 31st basic human right, the right to self-realize. Mm-hmm. That means all this wisdom of consciousness that is being there even before humanity existed and will continue to be there even after the existence of humanity is meant for all. Mm-hmm. And that means every one of my books, talks, videos, audios, even events, I never put a price tag. Mm-hmm. And knowing that there is plenty. And why I'm sharing this is because if there is any of your listener who feels that they are in a financially challenged place today, mm-hmm. but would like to embrace the seven laws into their life, then they should never hesitate to reach out to me. Or perhaps easier is simply just going to beingabundance.org, and they have access to the seven laws in their own language. It's there in so many languages on that site, mm-hmm. the seven laws. No price tags attached to it, just so that they can continue practicing this wisdom. On the each one of us, you know, swadharma, you know, each one of us, you know, there is a unique path destined for each one of us to self-realize. Mm-hmm. For some people, it is an atheist path. For some people, it's a Christian path or an Islam path. Or a yogic path, whatever that path is unique to each one of us. There's a reason for existence. Call it dharma for mm-hmm. each one of us. Now, each one of us, by virtue of our life experiences, we are being drawn in a certain direction in life. That is a karma part. You know, just to give you an example, suppose you have grown up in a family, in a very, you know, to use a word from the Western psychology dictionary, a dysfunctional family. Mm-hmm. You know, the traumas within me, your karma is, you know, having grown up in a dysfunctional or in an abusive family. When you grow up, there's a likelihood that you yourself would get into a dysfunctional family or relationship. Or you will be a celibate or a single because the traumas of those past experiences. Those traumas are your karma. And the choices we make unconsciously based on those traumas take us, it's not unconscious, it's all part of a higher conscious design, will take you, will help you make certain choices. Mm-hmm. Force you to make choices that will get you on your way of realizing the reason for your existence. Mm-hmm. From Vancouver City, mm-hmm. I know this example of a beautiful young lady. I remember once she came into one of my spaces in one of my retreats. And her story has been that for many years of her life, she took the path of drug dependency. So she was into drugs. And with a lot of help from many different people, she got out of it. Was not about the drugs itself. Her daily dread used to be that she would slip back into that old life.
Mm-hmm.
So she lived for many, many years with that dread, that fear that she will slip back into that old life. And when she came into that retreat and she was there for a couple of days and she was going deep inwards, she came to this very, very profound realization of her dharma. She concluded that in this lifetime, her sadhana, her service, seva, her gift to humanity would be to help others who have come out of drugs and who live in the daily fear of relapsing into drugs, helping them find courage and free themselves from that dread.
Mm-hmm.
You see the connection between karma and dharma? Because she came through that life, she was unequivocal, crystal clear, that her dharma, her way forward in her life in this form is to help others who live in this daily dread of relapsing into drugs. And she did such an amazing job. I'm sharing this example as an example of how karma informs our dharma. Also, hoping that for at least some of our listeners to be grateful mm-hmm. for some of our past experiences.
Absolutely. And thanks a lot, Sujit, for sharing so far. Action Tribe, as we wrap up this interview, I hope you now have some principles, some ideas about how to experience more abundance in your life. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up with feelings of scarcity, like there's not enough, like you have to fight to get your share, or even emotions of feeling not enough, not smart enough, or not rich enough, not charming enough. And while that might be easy to believe because of our social reality, you must go inwards because your consciousness is the only reality, and it is from there that you must create. And there is no limit to what we can create based on what Sujit has shared with us. From within your imagination, because just like Michael Beckwith once put, there's enough for everyone. If you can believe it, if you can see it, if you can act from it, it'll show up for you. That is the truth. And Sujit, we've come to the last round for today. Four questions, rapid fire style, so that our listeners can take note and take some action. So, what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
Wow. Best piece of, I mean, there's so many best pieces coming up, but I'd say the power of eternal optimism.
Wonderful. And if you could turn back time, spend 1 hour with someone who's living or maybe who is not living right now, who would it be?
My dad, you know, he passed away when I was 15 and I carried him within me through many unhealed wounds for the next 17 years. I'd go back, I'd tell him like, you know, I love you and you've been the greatest gift in my life.
What is that one thing you do in the morning or in the evening before you sleep that has improved the quality of your life?
Every morning, waking up into 20, 30 minutes of silence and self-connection.
Wonderful. And how can someone get a hold of your book to learn more about, you know, these principles of abundance?
All of my books simply online, anywhere, you know, in many languages. If not, simply just send me a message through sujithravindran.com or Being Abundance Movement, and somebody will help.
Amazing. So we'll have all these links up in the show notes, especially if somebody wants to join the Being Abundance Movement and be part of this global revolution that's happening, led by Sujith. Sujith, thank you so much for your time. Action Tribe, if you have any questions, comments, observations for me, aj@my7chakras.com, aj@my7chakras.com. But Sujith, thank you so much for coming on our show, talking to us about abundance, leadership, and the new world, and taking us one step closer to a human revolution.
Wow. Thank you for having me here, and thank you for being who you are, Aditya.
Thank you for listening to My Seven Chakras at my7chakras.com. That is my7chakras.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.